Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Hour 2 of your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. John, unfortunately, a little under the weather. Couldn't make it in today. He will hopefully be back and feeling better tomorrow. He's just had a lot of face problems.
Yes,
a lot of mouth problems.
He's had a lot of bad luck.
So he had, like, two root canals at the same time.
Yep.
And since then...
He's just been falling apart.
He's had a problem with his bite being out of alignment or something, and it's caused
a lot of headaches.
A lot of massive headaches.
Like, and really bad headaches. Yeah, because I guess I haven't had a root canal, and I don't know a lot about it.
I've had two root canals. I know I've had one because it went bad. I had a root canal a long time ago, and it got, like, 3 or 4 years after I got it, there was an abscess. There was like a little empty space.
I don't know if that's called an abscess.
I don't remember.
Can get an abscess in your mouth.
So, and it got infected.
Okay.
And that was literally the worst pain I've ever been in, to have the infection in the gum. And I had to go in and have the tooth completely removed and all that. It was terrible.
It's crazy how debilitating it can be to have tooth pain.
Yeah. No, it laid me up. It was bad. It was bad. It was worse than childbirth.
Well, Godspeed, John Justice.
I'm just going to put that out there. I have no idea what childbirth feels like.
Just
assume, but I'm just going to say that anyway.
You're going to get a lot of hate tweets. And I'm going to get a lot of hate calls.
651-989-5855.
No, don't get the phone number out now.
It's the phone number if you want to yell at Samantha about me. Joining us now, friend of the show, co-host of the Kip and Max Save the World podcast, Max Reimer.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for coming in, man.
It's been interesting to hear John struggle over the radio. It really feels like poor John, his mouth is falling apart.
Right. Yeah.
All the time, in real time. I think, Sam, there was one conversation that you had with him where he was basically like his teeth were just falling out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's what it sounded mid-segment. Like. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So I promise that won't happen to me today.
No emergency root canals while you're on the air?
I don't think so.
All right, we will try to avoid that. Let's. You haven't been on the show probably since you were running for office.
Yeah, I don't think. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah,
actually.
You ran for state representative out of Bloomington a while back.
Yep.
Clearly, you lost because you're here.
I have my
not currently a state representative.
I have my failed politician credential.
Good job, Drew. Way to make him feel welcome.
He knows he lost.
Hey, listen.
Not telling him anything he doesn't know.
Sometimes our legislators don't even show up to vote. So whatever.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing since then, and go ahead and plug your podcast that you've been doing with Kip Charles.
Sure. Yeah. As Drew said, my name is Max Reimer. I think I'll be filling in for the rest of the morning here. And really, we got started on the podcast shortly after I ran for office, and Kip and Max Save the World, essentially, we're a political podcast. We take on issues both locally and nationally. And what we've been trying to do a lot lately is have relevant guests on to speak to a subject matter. We try to stick to one topic. And the goal of our podcast is to save the world every morning. So we give you one little nugget that you can take with you, one little actionable item. And from there, we give you a deliverable on the podcast. I'm a small business owner. Like Drew said, I ran for a house in Bloomington in 2016. Came up short in that, but that's how we met.
Your business is a web development, web services, right?
Yep. Web development and digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So we're called Native. We're based out of the North Loop in Minneapolis, and we take on clients all shapes and sizes. And just try to keep my finger on the pulse of politics along the way. And I'm kind of a sick puppy that way, where I like to pay attention to this stuff. So.
Yeah. It's kind of gross. Yeah.
It is. It really does feel that way.
It's a weird breed of people that enjoy that. But the net neutrality argument is something that the reason I bring that up is because that's very relevant to what you do, very relevant to the business you run, this net neutrality conversation. Yesterday, the Senate, in what to me appeared to be a bit of virtue signaling from the Senate, passed a bill to stop the repeal of the net neutrality regulations that the Obama FCC implemented.
Right.
It's not expected to go anywhere. It's not expected to get through the House. If by chance it does, it's also not expected to be signed into law by President Trump. Where do you stand on the issue of net neutrality? Do you support the repeal of the regulations that the Trump FCC is undergoing?
Of course. And I would say along those lines, the term net neutrality is one of the greatest marketing terms of all time.
Sounds great.
Yeah, to say that the internet is inherently neutral, it doesn't make any sense. The internet has been used to grow businesses, to produce new content, to produce controversial content. And in some cases, the net hasn't been neutral. I mean, you really do have to look at a couple situations where you have people being having pressure put on them, their IP, their hosting companies, that kind of thing, to get their websites shut down. Now, I'm of the prerogative that, hey, if you're the hosting company, you have the ability to do what you want with the available space that you have to host a website, mm-hmm. or to do with it what you want. Now, net neutrality, basically all that it is the government takeover and hard-handed oversight into how the internet operates. If an internet service provider wants to do what it wants to do and it's giving you the infrastructure to access the internet, I don't think it's a bad thing for the internet service provider to be able to have a pricing model that chokes off a certain speed or gives you an increased speed depending on an increased payment that you mm-hmm. that you give the internet service provider. Now, people think that's scary.
You should pay for what you use.
I think so. Right? I'm a markets guy. I think so. So what you have then is Obama, basically, it was after the 2014 election. Everything was going haywire for the Democrat Party. It still is. And you basically just had him enact an archaic law from it may have been a Woodrow Wilson law to house the internet under the same thing that we house other utilities mm-hmm. under. And ultimately, it didn't need to happen. We had a good internet prior to 2015. There was nothing that would have signaled potential abuse. There was no warning signs that ISPs were going to just begin screwing over low-income citizens, nothing along those lines. But really, people need to look at this from a perspective that if you give the ISP more freedom, that might seem like a scary thing to you and me because Comcast or whomever is this big, giant corporation. But in every case where you lighten a regulation load, even on a big business, big businesses don't stay in business by constantly screwing over their customers.
No,
it's something to keep in mind.
No, they are in the business. It is in their best interest to keep their customers happy, because even if you're in a situation now, and I know a lot of people are, if you're in a situation now where you happen to live someplace where your choices of internet service provider are limited,
of course,
and there are people that they only have one available internet service provider to them, and that's a crappy situation. But it's not always going to be like that. And right. Companies are smart enough to know that. And if it is like that, it's not your internet service provider's fault. The argument that you want to, the place where you want to take your argument to loosen it up and allow more options is the government.
Right.
Those are government enforced monopolies. It was clearly an attempt by the Obama administration to take a massive step towards treating internet access like a public utility.
Yep.
And the question I would ask people out there that feel like this net neutrality is something that needs to be in place is, who do you trust more when it comes to throttling information or censoring information or limiting your access to certain information? Who do you trust more? Do you trust the government, federal government? Or do you trust an internet service provider? I mean, what does Comcast care
of what
I'm looking at or what websites I'm going to? There's far more vested interest to control information from those that are in power.
Well, and that's really what it boils down to, too, is giving private companies the prerogative to do whatever they want with the internet space that they have or they provide for. You have white supremacists online right now mm-hmm. who... through social,
I don't.
You, personally. Yeah, not you. In general,
there are
what? Let me. I'm new at this radio thing. There are white supremacists that are not Druze on the internet who they are advocating pretty hardcore. You got guys like Richard. There are guys like Richard Spencer online who talk about the need And these are, by the way, these are guys who are considered far-right extremists who advocate for net neutrality, because what's happening to them is they're having their platform shut down through social pressure. You have people reaching out to the hosting companies and that kind of thing, and white supremacists are saying, hey, we need the government to protect us and to protect our platform because we're being shut down. Now, I'm really of the mind that, hey, if you're going to create a platform online off of somebody else's work, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, these are all things on other people's platforms.
Right.
I don't think that we should utilitize them. You know, I think that they should stay private companies. Right. We should not nationalize them. And as soon as you start having a conversation about net neutrality, the next logical conversation that you're having is nationalizing actual platforms
right.
on the internet.
Which is going to lead to censorship.
Yeah, of course. It boils right down to your point that I can either trust a private company with my internet experience,
right.
or I can trust the government.
And you work in this arena, so you've seen over the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you've seen the innovation. You've seen yes. how different, you know, your internet experience is and continues to be. I mean, these regulations really serve to stifle innovation. They seem to want to put the internet in a certain box and say, this is what the internet is and this is what the internet will be going forward. Whereas you get rid of these regulations and the ways that we access the internet, the ways we access information, the ways we use the internet are going to continue to innovate. And I don't believe it's going to be very long before the idea that you need to have an ISP hardwired to your house,
yep.
you know, to access the internet is going to be relatively obsolete.
No. And the only way that that happens is keeping government out of the way, philosophically speaking. Yes. Because one of my favorite examples is when the Bell Telephone Company had as much power as it did. We have had mobile technology prior to mobile phones actually being popular. We'd had mobile technology for about 50 years mm-hmm. that intentionally got held back because the government had a vested interest in the Bell Telephone Company staying in existence, because that's just what people knew. And then eventually the government nationalized it. And all that to be said, we held back innovative technology for the sake of right. for the sake of what? For the sake of making government feel better about itself.
Right.
And that's what, you know, that's what net neutrality opens up. So we did have this vote in the Senate. It passed by 2 votes. We had kind of the typical Republican characters. I think it was Murkowski in Alaska and then
Collins
in Maine. Yeah. A couple of those characters who allowed the bill to pass. And it's a strategic political move on their part to appear moderate or
right.
or something along those lines. But it'll get killed in the House. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's virtue signaling on behalf of the Senate. It drives me nuts. I mean, you can't get anything good out of the Senate. You can't get anything substantive out of this Senate. But net neutrality pops on the floor, and it's like, boom, yeah,
of
we'll
course.
Pass that.
That is yeah. the most frustrating part. If you listen to Ajit Pai, who was, by the way, an Obama appointee to the FCC, he has some really great, concise explanations.
He's a genius.
He's awesome.
Love
he is
guy.
Awesome. And you know what? We don't know whether Ajit Pai is a hardcore Republican or a hardcore Democrat, but you listen to him on this issue, and he just makes it so cut and dry. Either you want government control of your internet, or you want a free and open internet. The term net neutrality is just the, again, biggest marketing term, mm-hmm. and it's very successful marketing. It sounds like, oh, I want the net to be neutral. I don't want anybody to be discriminated against.
And how do otherwise smart people like really fall for this? I mean, that's what drives me nuts. Is you see, there's so much, like John Oliver, for example. I'll use him as an example.
Yep.
I mean, he's spent more than one of his very influential programs, you know, getting people to contact the FCC and fight to keep this. Like I would look at that and I see him cover other things and I watch his show. I'm like, you're smarter than this. At least you should be.
Yeah, I think it always gets back to politics. I think this issue is used as kind of an everlasting political football. It was a new thing that was opened up to try to pin it against Republicans, because ultimately, in general, Republicans tend towards legislation that supports free market. And really, Drew, I'm of the mind that the chase for profit is what creates innovation. It's what creates competition.
Of course. Government has never, never been good at spurring innovation, at moving innovation forward. It's the people that are trying to find the cracks in the status quo. It's
That's
the people
right.
that are trying to find the opportunities that are being missed by these large corporations. Those are the ones that innovate. Those are the ones that come up with new technologies. Those are, you know, one of the favorite buzzwords these days. Those are the disruptors.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. But it's true. And to that end, to give you guys kind of an idea, the audience of an idea, if there are internet service providers that all of a sudden get really hungry for power and they see themselves as a monopoly in an area, if you have less government red tape for how ISPs can get started and how they deal with localities, that's another situation where all of these internet service providers are actually protected by the guardrails of government. If you have an internet service provider that's not operating in a way that favors the consumer, guess what? You will have another internet service provider find seed funding. There's a lot of money that needs to go into it. But if they feel like they can offer a better product and get a better price mm-hmm. to you and acquire your business from a monopoly in an area, that'll happen as long as there's competition.
Right, exactly. 651-989-5855. That is the voice of Max Reimer. He's going to be hanging out with me. John Justice, a little under the weather, feeling sick this morning, so he is not going to make it in. Hopefully, he'll be back tomorrow for the roundtable. Max Reimer is the co-host of Kip and Max Save the World, a podcast that you should be listening to, not when we're on.
No. directly after this.
Like around like 6 in the afternoon or something. Well, you listen to it around dinner time.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Glenn Beck fan. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that.
We will be joined by Senator Dave Osmek coming up next. Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. John, sadly, not with us this morning. I mean, he's like with us, you know.
He's still here.
He hasn't left our plane of existence. Right. He's just at his house in Blaine.
What happens when you're a radio personality and your mouth just is falling apart?
I don't know.
It seems like
you don't go to work.
Really bad.
That's not. Yeah, you can pretty much get by with almost any other body part.
Yep.
Yeah,
but yeah. You need your mouth to be functioning, and John's isn't this morning, thanks to a couple of root canals he had last week. It's been an absolute mess. Hopefully, he'll be feeling better, and will be joining us tomorrow. That was the voice of Max Reimer.
Hey,
hanging out with me this morning, friend of the show, former candidate for the state house, current co-host of Kip and Max Save the World, a wonderful podcast, and joining me, sitting directly across from me, Senator Dave Osmek.
Good morning, conservative intels. Well, I'll say one thing: at least John didn't fall off a horse.
That's true. He's got that going.
Whoa. Shots fired.
So original.
And I haven't even had coffee this morning.
You're fired up, though.
Oh, I am. I am because of our dear, dear governor. By the way.
Hold on. Let's get to that.
Let's
chamber that.
I'm ready to go.
Because you came in. We were talking about net neutrality last segment. I do want to give you an opportunity to chime in on that because you came in and said, you know, this is my issue, right?
It's a masterful, as your guest said, it's a masterful, masterful marketing technique that they have done. The former senator from the United States, Senator Franken, teamed up and created a masterful phrase of net neutrality. Here in Minnesota, we have somebody called Ron Latz, who went to Harvard, if you didn't know. He's continuing to bring up net neutrality. I refuse to give it a hearing in the Senate because it is a fraud. It's ridiculous. And we provably, the telecommunications people can prove to you how much disinvestment occurred during the 3 years of the Obama administration and how they disincentivized innovation in the internet because there was less money going into it. There was less expansion of the internet, creating more opportunities for businesses, more opportunities for you at home. They disincentivized it because net neutrality was another. If you thought Minlars was a steaming success, yeah, and you thought that Minsure was a steaming success, wait till we give you regulated internet service.
Right.
Your choices are between having the government run it or having private industry run. I tell you what, folks, if you think government running something makes any sense in the world, you need to get a have a class in intelligence.
I just don't understand how they can be so blind to learning from history. Okay, you know they want the internet treated like a public utility, but yet their complaint is, I don't have any choice in internet service provider. I only have one or two internet service providers that I can choose from. So they want it treated like a public utility. Yet how many public utilities do you have to choose from?
That's right.
You know, when you move into it, do you have like five or six electric companies all competing for your business? No, you don't. Do you have five or six telephone companies all competing for your business, at least back when everybody had to have a landline? No, you didn't. So why do you think moving the internet in that same direction is suddenly going to provide you with a plethora of amazing ISPs to choose from?
It really kills the spirit of what the internet was and is meant to be. The internet, for all intents and purposes, the internet is the most important invention in modern history, maybe in history. It's made us so interconnected, and it's built itself up through innovation that to put government restrictions over it and on it, and to have the heavy hand of intervention into it at all times, it doesn't match the spirit of what the internet was created to do. And in many cases, getting back to the ISP choices thing, because I think that's why people get sucked into this, is, well, I only have one choice of internet service provider and they're just going to jack up prices. Well, listen, the reason that you have only one choice in internet service provider is most likely because the government has put so many restrictions on internet service providers already, right, that it creates the barrier to entry so high,
right,
that it's impossible to have new competition.
And local governments have allowed some internet service providers to sort of create essential monopolies in certain areas by saying, you know, no, we're not going to, you know, we don't want all these companies up here. You know, there's this idea that you're going to have like 17 different companies all digging up your street to lay hardwire. It's not how it works anymore.
Well, and it's right, slowly changing. And you hit upon one thing, too, is that your local jurisdictions, your local cities determine and contract for who that internet, where some of this internet providing service comes from. The other thing that's going to change the landscape is 5G technology.
Yes.
Is as we move to that, and I think I might have talked about it on these airwaves before, as we move towards that, you're going to have wireless 5G technology that's going to be able to allow you to download speeds that are going to boggle your mind. And if that's the case, wired internet service is going to become a dinosaur.
Yep.
I just turned off my home phone. If somebody's trying to call me at home, I turned off my home phone 2 weeks ago. We are completely, both my daughters have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. My wife has a cell phone. I'm tired of getting telemarketer calls, mm-hmm, because that's all I got on that phone. So I've turned it off. I've gone wireless like many people have. So the direction we are going as a state and a nation continues to evolve and to change. And this net neutrality stuff is just another way to try and prevent innovation and change.
Yeah, but you guys at the Capitol are talking about, we need to get broadband out to outstate Minnesota. Imagine that. We are on the cusp of a transportation breakthrough. We're still talking about trains. We're on a internet breakthrough and how we service internet. Just mind-boggling advancements. And we are talking about, we got to get broadband out to outstate Minnesota. That is what you can look forward to if government takes back the internet.
Don't get me started on broadband.
Outstate broadband.
Millions of dollars on rural broadband, and it bothers me. But I mean, my mom lives out.
We need internet too, Dave Osmond.
I know.
We're gonna get internet. A representative from the rural area.
Yeah, she's out there with her horses,
half rock, half cow. Sam Sansevier.
Yeah. Drew knows this. I have like, once I'm home, I have like barely. I cannot use a computer like out in Buffalo.
And I understand.
I agree. It's not the government's job to give it to me.
Sam, I understand. Sam also has a Hotmail email address.
That's not true. It's Yahoo, which is just as bad.
Well, and I understand the issue, and I also know that, you know, my mom just lives out by Glencoe. She's out in the rural areas, and she, I talk to her about broadband, and she looks at me like I have potatoes growing out of my ears, going, I don't care about broadband. I care about my taxes.
Yeah.
So it is an issue. We continue to pour money into it, and I wish we would get done with this broadband initiative. So But right. It is what it is.
Let's shift gears. That's the voice of Senator Dave Osmek, Max Reimer in, and of course the lovely, talented, radiant Samantha. Give us a call, 651-989-5855. You want to comment on anything? I want to shift gears. And a lot of news going on in the legislature, obviously, with the session winding down. Specifically, though, in the Senate yesterday, got a few issues I want to get with you while you're here, Dave Osmek. First one, let's start off. You guys, the Senate, did pass the tax bill.
Yes.
Okay. Went through the House, got to you, made some changes, got into the Senate, and did pass, headed to Governor Dayton's desk. Governor Dayton is going to go to an elementary school, which is very appropriate and fitting, today, to publicly, in front of a bunch of kids, throw his little temper tantrum and veto the tax bill because you guys so adamantly refuse to just hand over a check for $138 million that he claims we absolutely need to fund our schools.
Think of the children, Dave.
Yes, yes. We're all tying the children to the railroad tracks, and we're throwing them overboard out of the boat and with concrete galoshes on. Yes, that's what the legislature's doing.
Yeah, why do you hate kids? It's Dave.
I know.
Dave Osmek.
The children, kids. Dave. Think yeah. of the children. All right, folks. We're going to play a little game show. This game show, and please call in. Really, please call in. This game show is called How Much Did My School District Get? Because in front of me, and I will leave this with Drew, I have every school district in Minnesota, how much new money they got in this biennium. How much money your school district got to pour into school, to education. And it isn't enough for Mark Dayton.
You're not talking about proposals that have yet to be implemented. You're talking about legislation that was passed already in previous sessions.
This is real money. This is how much did your school district get in aggregate? Not even per pupil. I'll just tell you how many millions of dollars we gave to the school district. We gave them an increase in the education formula of 2% the first year and 2% the second year. How many of you people at home got a raise, any kind of raise, in 1 year of 2% or more? Raise your hand. I don't see many of you raising your hands. That's because we keep pouring money into education, and we compromised to give them that 2% and 2%. So call in, and I can give you exactly the amount of money they got for brand new numbers. But then we need to talk about a district called Robbinsdale.
Okay.
Robbinsdale School District did something interesting. They actually were in the newspaper as one of the school districts that was short money. They were short over $10 million of money to run their schools, and they're going to have to reduce class sizes. This is one of mumbling Mark Dayton's examples of why we need to give them more money. Well, here's the fun part. Robbinsdale, and I'm looking through my little list here. Robbinsdale, if you live in Robbinsdale School District, you got $6.7 million. So they didn't just spend they just didn't spend the new $6.7 million. They spent an extra $10 million on top of the $6.7 million. But that's not the funnest part. The funnest part is a week after Mark Dayton said they need the money. Here we go. This is a news article from Hometown Source. On a 4-3 vote, the Robbinsdale Area School Board voted to increase school board compensation. So after not having enough money for their kids, after spending $6.7 million that we gave them, plus an extra $10 million that they didn't have, they decided to raise their pay for their school board members by 15 to 18% in 1 year.
School board members.
School board members.
So how many?
It's
how
a
many,
tough job.
Yeah. How many kids are school board members responsible for teaching?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero is the number.
Just checking.
Think about that, folks. If you live in the Robbinsdale School District, this is what Mark Dayton doesn't want to do. By the way, this is why we should have a media. I'm looking forward to a new Republican governor where the media is actually going to do something, because I turned on the TV this morning and I got to listen to a happy talk for 15 minutes about this wedding over in England of a guy who's fifth in line to become prince or the king of England getting married to a bad actress over in England. Then we spent 15 minutes talking about this, but we aren't going to talk about education in Minnesota and how Mark Dayton is lying through his teeth. He doesn't care about kids. He only uses kids when they're convenient for him to be able to ram through more money for his buddies over in education Minnesota. It drives you crazy.
That's the voice of Senator Dave Osmek. You're going to stick around for a little bit?
Sure.
I want to touch on with you. Give us a call, 651-989-5855. You want to find out how much your school district got in new funding over the last couple of years. Dave Osmek has all that information. Max Reimer in for John Justice. We'll be right back.
Justice it.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to the show. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Joined by Max Reimer, who is sitting in for John this morning, who's a little under the weather. He'll hopefully be back tomorrow. And a very fired up Senator Dave Osmek.
And no coffee.
Are you all right? I mean, you did not take a breath that entire break.
Yeah, I know. I come in here and something suddenly changes me beyond my normal raging self.
I have that effect on people.
It didn't help that Sam came in and tickled him.
That's okay. I didn't bring any horse. By the way, we have a bill in the legislature to name the state horse.
Really?
Yes.
Like, give it a name?
No,
like,
to name
it. No, there's specific breeds. Who proposed that?
They want to name. I'm not going to say his name because he's a Republican, but I have
to show this. Don't no,
but
isn't that,
but that's but that's public knowledge. If I look for it, it's not going to be that hard to find.
No, it's to name the state horse. It's a one-line bill. It's to name the state horse. This is a state horse that you would actually know because you guys go to the state fair. What's the name of the...
I don't know this one.
I don't know anything about horses.
The name of the horse is Dance Patch.
Yeah. I knew the answer. You should have let me...
Sorry.
You should have let me have
that
my
That was
moment.
Your moment.
Yeah, no, Dan Patch is a legend. You got Dan Patch Avenue.
Yeah, well...
It was a real horse.
Look up Whiskey, the horse that is actually... he is actually buried at Fort Snelling. We're going to have to move Whiskey for the third time. He was buried with military honors.
What?
I'm not kidding. We buried a horse with military honors and we've moved him twice. This will be the third time because we have to. We're spending money on a visitor center over in.
How long ago did this horse die?
100 years ago.
Okay, there ain't nothing left to move. Nothing left to move.
Are there even bones left?
It's just gotta be dust.
I don't know, but I'm not supposed to ridicule my good senator friend.
They must have had him in a coffin or something.
Well, probably. I'm sure they put. There ain't nothing left to move.
A really big coffin.
Hey, if you guys are passing bills to rename the state horse, I think there needs to be less legislators. In general,
right. funny you should mention
that. You guys just don't need that. You don't need a job.
I have proposed the Thin the Herd bill, which would cut down on the number of legislators that we have around. And it would cut the Senate down to 58, from 67 to 58, because people don't understand. We have the largest state Senate in the entire nation. There's 67 of us running around on that floor every day.
No wonder you guys have so much trouble.
Yeah, they got guys like me running around on the Senate floor.
Fat joke.
So we left off talking about the emergency funding that Mark Dayton says we need, even though schools in Minnesota have seen very significant increases in funding over the last couple of years, correct?
Yep. Call in if you want to know, what did your school district get in this biennium?
It's for the children.
651-989-5855. Let's go to Dave in Santiago. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, good morning. Senator, please stop sugarcoating things on education. Yeah. Let's get down to the bare. Number one, I'm in the Becker School District, or my children are. And the school district, it doesn't matter how much money they get. They always need more.
Becker School District. Becker has 2,822 pupil units. That's what they call them. And they got $1.1 million for those students in this biennium.
Congratulations, caller.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
One other question. Why is it if I actually go to a board meeting and propose anything that would cut costs, it's equivalent of, well, instead of, you tie children to the railroad tracks and throw them over bridges and off cliffs and everything else. I'm the equivalent of throwing them on the railroad trash, pushing, all this, school administration and everything else. And at one meeting when they were talking about, you know, oh, well, we need more money for the administration, this and that. And I said, well, how about if we combine Becker and Big Lake together, we could get rid of one entire school administration, and that would save us loads of money.
You, sir, are a heretic. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you brought up Big Lake. That's 1.2. Yeah, you don't want that. You want to get rid of some administrative jobs? We have to protect our phony baloney jobs. Big Lake got $1.2 million. So you would have actually had a combined, if you combined those school districts, you would have had a combined increase of $2.3 million of fresh new money for your school districts.
Most of this $138 million is for Minneapolis and St. Paul. Right. How much did Minneapolis get?
Minneapolis.
We should measure these numbers versus actual raw dollar amounts and compare how many dead horses we could move with the money we'd save.
Okay, how much you want to get Minneapolis got in this new biennium? How much of fresh, clean greenbacks?
$2.4 million.
Wrong. Higher.
Really?
Oh yeah.
640 dead horses moved.
Well, it depends on how the valuation of the horses are. $18.2 million. $18.2 million.
What about St. Paul?
St. Paul.
Imagine it's in the same neighborhood.
They're in the same area. Probably a few less students. Go back to this page. St. Paul, 36,000 plus students. Oh, it gets better. $19 million.
Ching. So $37 million combined between Minneapolis and St. Paul over the last biennium, and they need the bulk of this $138 million emergency funding.
And it's never enough.
At what point do we talk about cutting? Because it's all administrative. I mean, there's so much of that budget, so much of that money is just siphoned away on this administrative level. Doesn't reach the classrooms, doesn't reach the teachers, doesn't benefit the students whatsoever.
We are incentivizing fiscal irresponsibility. If we give them the money that Mark Dayton mumbles his way through asking for, we are incentivizing more irresponsible school boards, more irresponsible spending. I asked a couple of my school boards, well, what's going on over here? And one of them actually sent me an email saying, hey, we'd like the money. And my answer was, what'd you do with the money that we gave you? Are you guys saying you're going to increase class sizes? They went, well, okay, we're not going to do it. We were responsible. I said, well, congratulations, but that doesn't mean we're going to give you more money. Mm-hmm. So call on in. I will give you what your school district got for fresh new money.
Jay in southern Minnesota, good morning.
Hey, I was wondering if you could, if there's a way you could kind of see how much each school spends per student and what their graduation rate is and how, you know, all the other different standards you could go by. And then if you have the school that spend the most per student, if that equals the best education.
Of course not.
The other way around. Yeah. Wouldn't that extrapolate out onto how we should be spending money?
We're another heretic on the line.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific number, but when we last covered this, Minneapolis has one of the highest per pupil spending rates in the nation. It was something like $21,000 or $24,000 per student, mm-hmm. and the graduation rates are down. The achievement gap graduation rates among minorities and Native Americans are woeful numbers. There is absolutely zero correlation between money spent and quality of education. And all you got to do is look at a lot of other countries out there that have superior education systems and do it for much cheaper.
Right. I'm not on any education committee, but I do have the amount of money they are spending, projected to spend in revenue. Minneapolis is going to spend $834 million, and we gave them an extra $18 on top of that.
Yeah. Now, the entire public school system needs to be absolutely imploded. I mean, it starts way up at the Federal Department of Education. That is a department that absolutely serves no purpose,
yep.
needs to be eliminated. We need to get schools back down to the community level. You know, we get much more community involvement. We don't need all of this, you know, this centralized planning and funding and initiatives coming from the federal government, coming from to the state government, all the way down to your local schools. Brian in St. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, it's interesting with all the money that everybody's talking about, millions of dollars here, millions of dollars there. The end result is we're spending 42% of the state's budget, that's $8 billion with a B, on education, for approximately 546,000 students. Do the math.
Another heretic heard.
Problem
from.
Is they can't. Our education you know, system is so poor they can't do the math.
I love the fact that you have listeners that actually Common know core. What's going on. Because I sit in my chair on the Senate floor and I scratch my head going, do people really know what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
So I appreciate them calling in and saying, I know this is.
It's a very gut emotional response. Of course, we all want quality schools. Of course, we all want the best schools for our kids. We all want that. So it's really hard to, you know, you really got to look into it and you got to do some investigation to understand why this is a bad idea. Typically, the average person, they see Governor Dayton on TV saying we need $138 million in emergency school funding. They're just going to go, oh, well, okay. Yeah. I mean, if it's an emergency and it's for our schools, well, then yes, obviously. Why wouldn't we do that?
Where's the media? Where's the media asking questions? Where's the media talking about all this money? Where's the media talking about money going to school districts that aren't even asking for it? And they will accept it gladly if you offer it to them. But that doesn't mean that every school district needs emergency funding. Matter of fact, the school districts that need emergency funding, their school board should be fired. You should be electing them out of office.
All right. We got people like your game show idea, Dave. I'm seeing on Twitter. I'm seeing on Facebook. Prior Lake Savage Schools. How much did they get?
Prior Lake Savage. Prior Lake Savage has... let's see. Prior Lake Savage. Sorry, I know this is terribly entertaining.
While you search for that, I have another one for you right after that.
$3.5 million, Prior Lake. $3.5 million.
I'm going to give you a list of all the ones I've seen mentioned here, so you can spend a minute in compiling. I've seen Prior Lake, I've seen Stillwater, and I've seen North Branch asked about.
We also got Bloomington.
Okay. Right. Stillwater has $3.4 million worth of fresh money that they got.
$3.4, that ain't bad.
Oh, that's pretty good change. What was the other one?
Prior Lake.
We did Prior Lake.
Yeah, sorry.
Bloomington.
Bloomington. Bloomington.
My school district.
Bloomington received $4.7 million in this biennium of fresh new money.
What are they doing with all?
North Branch.
North Branch. North Branch received... A total, grand total, North Branch, there it is, $1.2 million of fresh new money.
Hey, here's one. a school district that is so embroiled in other controversy. What is Edina School District?
Oh, our friends in Edina.
Can
the
we
Gold
take money
Coast.
From them?
Edina, $3.4 million.
Okay.
Of new money.
All right, couple of calls. Steve in Northfield, go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. I was just wondering for my school district, District Randolph, and then are there any stipulations on what they have to spend the money on?
Absolutely not. They can spend it on erasers. They can spend it on diversity training. They can spend it any place they want.
Can they spend it on cupcakes?
Yes, they can. They can spend it on horses. They can spend it on horses.
Well, I might be okay with
this. A board meeting of any sorts, would they show where they spent that?
They have to because they are publicly elected officials. They have to publish it. Randolph, paltry, $280,000.
Whoa.
Paltry for 700 Randolph. Students.
Yeah. You guys got the short end of the stick there. Dan in West St. Paul, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How about District 197? And a little caveat on top of that, we just passed a referendum last week for $137 million more dollars.
Well, then you can add $2.1 million on top of that because that's the money you got in this biennium for fresh new greenbacks in your school district.
All I can do is just facepalm all of this information.
We do have another tweet from Don. Rosemount Apple Valley, they traditionally are short funded, then they quote unquote find the money.
Rosemount Apple Valley, 27,000, almost 28,000 students, $11.5 million of fresh new money.
Winner, winner in the suburbs here.
All right. Before we let you go, because we do have a guest coming up in the next segment, so I got to let you go, Senator.
I got to go do some legislating, too.
This tax bill, Dayton's going to veto it. He's holding it hostage for this money. Republican leaders in the legislature have indicated a willingness to talk about a special session for this money. Where do you think this is going to go, and do you have enough time to get another tax bill to the governor?
Yes, we can get another tax bill. We are already knowing full well that he said yesterday he was going to veto it, and we had a thought pattern that he was going to do it because it's just not enough spending for him. By the way, inside of the tax bill includes safe schools money so that your schools can put in more safety measures to make sure your schools are safe. He vetoed that. Every Democrat voted against it. So if they talk about safe schools, you say, how did you vote, DFLer? And you can find out. You don't have to ask them because they already voted no. So we do have time to get it done. I don't think I want a special session because it just rewards more Mark Dayton bad behavior. That's what this is, folks, is bad behavior, extortion by the governor of the state of Minnesota. And I will leave all of these numbers. So if you want to call in yet, Drew will have the numbers for you.
Yeah, he's going to leave all these numbers with me. So hit me up on Twitter. Use the hashtag TCNT if you want to find out how much more money your school district got. I will tweet out that information for everybody that requests it. Just make sure to either tag me, Andrew Lee TCNT, or use the hashtag TCNT. And don't have enough time to really get into it, but I do want to say congratulations on one bill that you championed, approving the bill to bypass the PUC for the Enbridge pipeline. Did get through the Senate. Is Mark Dayton going to veto this too?
He is going to veto that. He is a veto machine. Okay. And the Enbridge line is really important because we are actually running that at half capacity. The new line goes around the Indian tribal nation that's up there. It does the right thing. And we have to have oil, folks. Unless you just want to drive in on your mongoose or ride in on a horse. I guess that's the horse. That's the theme of the day, isn't it? We need oil, and it needs to be done. So let's get it
right. And you want it delivered in a fresh, new, safe pipeline, not an old, rusty one that's not even operating at full capacity because it's in such disrepair.
That's in 50. Well, they do.
If you
they
care
have repaired
about the
it.
Environment.
I care about.
If you
the
care about the environment,
you care about the children.
It's for
Dave,
the children. You want this pipeline.
It is.
Dave Osmick, thank you so much. More coming up right after this. Miss any.